In today's episode, Samantha breaks a leg, Mike gets dysentery, and my wagon's on fire. This is the Oregon Trail.
Two, three, go.
Yeah, that's still going to be hard to sink in. Oh, I'll figure it out.
All right. So, like I said, we're going to start talking about the Oregon Trail here in a minute. Just make sure everybody's ready. Thumbs up. Good. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of Fun Sphere Game Club.
Quarantine edition.
This is technically, yes, our first remote recording in quarantine condition. So, speaking of Speaking of being quarantined and things possibly being a disaster, we're playing the Oregon Trail today. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
I knew it. I knew even the remote distance would not stop the continual...
Shut up, Samantha.
Yes.
Yes, Samantha, shut up.
All right, so as is tradition, I will give the quick rundown of this game. And I will just say up front that the history of this game is quite amazing. All right, so this game was developed in the year 1971.
Can you believe this fucking game's going to be 50?
Yes, it is 50 years old in next year.
What an old bitch.
It was developed by three people, Ron Rastowich, Bill Heineman, and Paul Dingleberger, which is That is 100% his name, as a text-based video game. This game did not have...
Can you imagine making an educational game and that being your last name?
Yeah. Can you...
All the kids.
Can you also imagine making this game in 2 weeks? Because that's what this guy did.
Really?
Yeah, I can, actually.
Two weeks.
Absolutely believe this game was made in 2 weeks.
So this game was made before there were graphical interfaces. So what would happen is literally the game would print out what is happening and you would type in your response. And then the dot matrix printer would spool up and the next thing that would happen in the game would show up. This game didn't have graphics until 1985. When it was redesigned for the Apple II computer. I first played it on the Apple IIe, so that green screen is forever burned into my mind with this game.
Yeah, I think my first time playing it, it was on the 85 version with graphics, but I do remember playing the text-based one. I don't know where it would have been, but it definitely looked familiar. I played at least three different versions of it.
I'm not trying to laugh, but Samantha's baller ass aviators over here are great.
They're my
fear and loathing
light blocking ones.
Okay. So this game was distributed by the Michigan Educational Computing Consortium, also known as MECC, in 1975. This was a company that was designed.
Sounds like somebody me clearing my throat.
Nick.
So this company was designed to give software to schools in Minnesota, educational software, for free. So back to the history of this thing. Apparently, Minnesota in the 50s through 70s was the Silicon Valley of its time.
Get out of here.
No, apparently so. Like, so all the old school computers, like this thing was partially developed on the Pillsbury Company's computer.
No.
Yeah. So apparently...
The Doughboy?
Yeah, the Doughboy himself had a hand in this game.
Wow.
So it was given free to schools in Minnesota for free, and it was sold elsewhere, so that's how most of us got it. So it sold over 65 million copies in all of its iterations. And it was inducted into the World Video Game Hall of Fame in the inaugural class of 2015. As I mentioned earlier, it was developed over 2 weeks. Rostowitz was the main developer, and Heinemann and Dingleberger were his roommates. And they actually just helped him, like, code. And this was like...
Dingleberger!
And they were roommates.
They were roommates.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, he... let's see here. Excuse me. Rostowitz was a kind of like a TA at the time. He developed the game for his 8th grade history class. All right. So, I guess let's go around. And, you know, we've kind of already talked a little bit. We've all played this growing up. Is that correct?
That is correct. Why are you shaking your head now?
I didn't play it growing up.
Oh, really?
This is my first time playing it. Yeah, wow. We did not. My school, I went to two different elementaries. No, three different, whatever. I went to a bunch of different schools and none of them used it. At least not while I was there.
You were in school later than Josh and I both. It's weird. Did you have computer games like in your libraries and stuff?
Yeah, so the first school I went to was the only one that had games, All Saints in Missouri. We had Mario's Game Gallery, Kid Picks, and this game. It's like a math game where you had to help a mouse through a maze.
Huh.
It was weird. We did not have this, but all my friends, and when I moved to California, they'd all played Oregon Trail.
Oh, okay.
Growing up in school, so I guess it was just, I missed it.
Actually, I had a hypothesis that this was going to be the case. Because of our respective ages, there's a few years in between each of us.
But you're wrong. No. Because my classmates from the same age as me in different school.
It seems like anything west of like the Midwest, should be required gaming because it's how they came to be.
This is why you're here.
I mean, it's not like 100% history accurate or anything, but...
You take that back.
No, I just thought with all the many iterations that it really could have been a case of I played one version, Mike played another, and Samantha, who didn't missed it apparently, or her folks of her age probably played a different version. Like I said, I think it's had up to 20 different versions at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed I missed out on the FMV versions that came later on.
Oh, man.
That's,
and then they did, like, it's like they backtracked, because I started looking them up, and it looked like 3 and 4, they had live acting in it, and then 5, they went to, like, an animated cartoon.
So you're talking about the sequels, like the Oregon Trail 2, the Oregon Trail 3, is that correct?
Well, there was only a second one, and then they went back to the original, but just started calling them, like, third edition and fourth and fifth editions.
Yep. Okay, I just wanted
to... I saw a pretty funny video on YouTube where it was breaking down all of them and just seeing some of the voice acting. It was everything you'd expect from mid-90s computer games.
Mid-90s FMV is just classic. Go ahead, Samantha.
Is the sequel you go back to wherever you came from?
It's like
Boston?
Back to the Future.
I think that's why they ended up getting away from calling them outright sequels, is because even the second one, it was just a prettier version of the original.
Yeah. Yeah, they teamed to stick with just calling it the Oregon Trail. Like, the last version that I'm familiar with was I'll say mid-2000s they had a iPhone game version. Which I did not care for, but it was like free or something like that, so I tried it. All right,
can you imagine a pay-to-play Oregon Trail?
100% can. Yeah, it's like, hey, buy some more food while you're actually traveling. So I guess we should kind of break down the just a little bit of the gameplay and stuff like that, because it's important for the conversation, I'll say. This game is completely random. I was always convinced it was, but now doing my research...
I don't think it is totally random. I think that there's a probability factor, but it's not... Like, there are some things you can do to avoid. I went back and looked that up after we talked about it.
Okay. It's like Pathfinder or D&D. So you get in the beginning, you can min-max. You set your stats basically by what you buy and stuff, and that just adds bonuses. And the whole thing is just ruled by rolling a D20 pretty much.
Yes. So, yeah, it actually... So each round, you know, you get that start. You have your distance to the next, we'll call it landmark for whatever. It will choose... to end the round, the computer always does, by selecting one or two events and a weather condition. Always happens in each round. So that's why, like, you know, randomly you'll have your wagon broken into, or you'll find wild food that'll give you more, stuff like that. So yes, you are kind of creating stats at the beginning depending on your choice, which I believe there were three choices for the original one, the one that we played, the 1990 version. That's the banker, the farmer, and the carpenter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Samantha was correct in that depending on which one you choose, you'll start out with more money or more knowledge and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and then the pace affects how much you're doing it, how much food you're feeding people. So like if it says your health is poor, then you're going to be more likely to get sick. But if it's good, then you're less likely. So it's not like totally random.
No, it's not RNG, but it is a lot like Pathfinder because you get the status conditions, you get, you know, like you want to look things around. Oh, I have 14 points in perception. So no matter what I roll on this D20, I'm pretty much going to pass. But like... Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to mention is that the hunting aspect of it was not added until the Apple II revision either, which I've always found to be the best part of the game because I am a master hunter on that.
See, I don't know if it was the version I was playing because I did it on Archive with like the 85 version where it's in color. And you can do the hunting and everything, but for whatever reason, it wouldn't let me move my character, just the direction that I was pointing the gun. But then whenever I went back and looked at that YouTube video, it shows somebody running their character around.
Oh, yeah, it's because you weren't pressing the enter key. That's why you weren't moving.
Why do you have to press the enter key?
Because that's how it's coded to work. That's what you would do. There was the mouse... I don't think was around.
Oh, so it, like by holding enter, it makes them move forward. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And you want to talk about tank controls. This is the granddaddy of tank controls. So I'm sure Samantha totally dug the controls on this.
I didn't even know you could hunt. I didn't. I did very little moving in this game except down the river.
I love that they before you start hunting, they give you a breakdown of novice controls where you use the directions, like the arrow keys, and then the expert controls, which is just the number pad.
That's right. Oh, that's
got my pro controls way back in 1985.
That's right. There was already next level gaming. Get good when you were doing the hunting. Let's see here. Okay. So, let's just get a rundown. What did you guys choose for your job or when you were starting out?
God, I think I did the carpenter.
Okay. I also picked carpenter.
I read the comments, so I picked banker and started with everything that guy suggested.
Okay. So, you actually went with a pro guide to make it through, and you beat it, correct, Samantha?
I did.
All right. I also beat it on my second time.
I did not. I got to the Snakes River Crossing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I gave up. I just turned it off. I remember loving this game so much as a kid, which blows my mind because, you know, I was more distracted back then. At least I'm on... medication for it now to be able to sit down, and I couldn't do it. It was awful.
Did you play it in school or on
your own? Yeah. I played it.
Well,
in
that's
school.
Why you loved it. That's what I'm wondering, if anyone played this on their own or if it's just because it's an alternative to schoolwork.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it was pretty cool being able to play a video game at school.
I mean,
as much as you could call this a video game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact that it's, you know, considered one of the most famous video games of all time, and it's pretty well reviewed. I 100% believe people actually bought this game and played it on their own. as hard as it is to imagine that, yeah, I mean, this was a pinnacle game at the time. You know, this was way above.
We just have to remember it was a very, very long time ago.
Yes.
That's true.
A decade prior to any of us being born is when the game was developed. So, yes.
I've been alive forever.
Oh, have you now? Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Samantha is immortal. All right.
Immortal or immortal?
Immortal.
Immortal amongst immortals. Immortal.
Okay, so I personally find this game super frustrating just because of the randomness. I like a game where if I mess up and I get owned or something like that because I messed up, I can accept that. I hate RNG and I hate random events, so I find this game very frustrating. I usually am like Mike too, get to Snake River and just like, screw this. Especially if all my dudes start dying.
So how about games like Risk?
That's all tactical. That's all your choices.
Yeah, but then you still have to roll dice. I can't tell you how many times I played that game and had the best strategy ever, only to lose my entire army by some bad luck rolls. But it still lends itself as a fun game. So,
but there's at least a certain level of strategy. On this one, you literally you put it in, and what happens, happens.
No, there's so much strategy in this game.
Which I think is great because I think that's kind of the teaching point of this is what these people went through. They gave it their best shot and then just some got randomly owned.
This is the game of life.
It is.
Nobody in my party got dysentery, which I felt was a shame because I was looking forward to it. But the main cause of death for my group was broken leg.
I had some broken legs too, so I'm looking through photos I took because I kind of wanted to document what I did here. All right, so I'm gonna give you the names of my crew here. I had, of course, Josh as the primary member. I had Little Mike, Little Samantha, which is SMTA because you couldn't spell Little Samantha. My dude in Megatron, of course, always had Megatron. And going through the first victim of this random crap was Megatron. He got exhausted. How a Transformer gets exhausted, I don't know.
Ran out of gas.
It probably. Well, he was a gun, so no, he didn't run out of gas.
Ran out of bullets.
There you go. I'm looking through here. Pretty sure, Samantha, you had a broken leg and died. Mike, you got cholera and died, and like
that sounds apt.
So only like three of my party actually made it there. What about you, Samantha? On your run, did everybody make it alive?
No. So I named my people Greg, Monica, Elsie, Rebecca, and Jordan. I think I just made up random names.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica died first. I don't remember how. No, Monica broke her leg and then just randomly it was like she died. It was like, all right. Rebecca broke her leg and then drowned because I was wondering what would happen if you hit a rock in the river, so I just hit one and so she drowned. And then Elsie died. I think she got typhoid fever and then just died afterwards. Everyone else seemed to make it, though. But I was cracking up after I hit the rock. And it's like, things that you lost, Rebecca.
Yeah.
And then and some, like,
as well
wheels
as
or whatever.
A few oxen.
Yeah.
I didn't lose anybody up until I got about halfway through and thought, I need this to be over. So I switched to the grueling pace and just ran him into the ground.
So you turned it into a death march is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I think that there is strategy, Josh, because I was nailing it for that first half of the game.
I mean, you can 100% make choices that will just wreck the thing, but even the best set of choices can get boned by completely random events. Like, for example, I was doing really good on supplies because I picked Carpenter. I think you're better at fixing stuff and you didn't have to use replacement parts. But then I got, like, thiefed three times. Like, a thief comes in the night and steals half your shit. I had that happen three times. And then two other times, my wagon caught on fire. And so all the stuff I was doing to cultivate my materials to make it through to the end was getting wiped out by random things.
Hmm. I don't know. I still feel like those were choices you made.
How did I have choices to be attacked by thieves and fire?
Maybe resting in a place too long?
Maybe you were asking for it.
You seem like you would have been asking for it.
Maybe you had all your possessions displayed on the outside of your carriage.
That's what it was. I was like, boy, I sure hope no one comes and steals all my wagon wheels. And I sure hope nothing sets a blaze in this covered wagon.
Yeah, the fire. I don't know what you did for that. I've never had anything set on fire.
It happened twice. The gods. It happened twice. It was, and I had so many oxen stolen. So many. Oh.
One of mine just walked off, I guess. All right.
So let's talk about the late gameplay mechanic change into a rafting minigame. Was anybody else just like, I didn't remember that happening at all playing it growing up?
I never got that far.
I didn't remember it either.
So yeah, it changes to a like a pretty intensive little rafting mini game where you have to move the arrows, use the arrow keys to move the raft down the river. You have no option but to raft down the river at the end of the game.
You can do that or take some road. I picked the river.
I picked the river too, so I guess there was a choice, huh?
Yeah. And it wasn't
hard.
Is
the river shorter?
I don't know. It seemed more fun.
I think it's like, yeah, I think it looking at the map, which did anybody use the map when they were making their choices?
No, oh, I just went, go, 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 go. I rested once, I think. Go, 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 go. Replace anything I lost. Go, 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 go.
Because you went with the money heavy choice of where you could just buy stuff at the forts and whatnot. My cash was gone at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I spent all but like $90.
It really is real life. You just, if you have the most money, you win.
Oh! That hurts. The truth hurts. So...
Be expecting that cholera any day now.
I think we lost Josh's video.
No?
I just see Michael big. Well, all I see is Bender.
Okay. Yeah, that's me, but I'm 100% there. Mike, you still got me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all I see is Mike.
Hmm.
There we go.
Okay, so I'm back. All right, great. Okay, so does anybody like have any criticisms of this besides the fact that it's completely random bullshit?
Boring as hell.
Oh, very boring.
Oh, but I think we can all agree that it's important.
It's still very... I would never actually dump on this game because it paved the way, especially for educational gaming.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm glad that they had the foresight to see... It reminds me of the fight that Mr. Rogers did to... keep public access or not public access.
Oh,
but,
I thought you had like some story.
Public broadcasting.
Yeah. I thought you were going somewhere else. Like Mr. Rogers had a fist fight with somebody and I was like,
no.
Who is this? I got to find
he
out.
Probably
no,
did.
I can't remember the details, but he did that speech to Congress to say like, you know, there's educational programming could help a great deal.
Oh yeah.
And so this was kind of like, I mean, I didn't see them fighting or hear about them fighting for it, but it definitely was a step in the right direction for a positive outlook of video games.
I mean, it's technically the first in its of the subgenre of educational games.
Yeah.
this company, I mean, they're the ones behind all the biggest ones, like Number Munchers and Letter Munchers and all those things to help
kids, Super Munchers.
To help kids like learn how to type and learn how to do math and stuff like that. So I think it's important for that. Yeah, and it's not the most exciting game, but I don't know, if you put it up against its contemporaries of like the Atari, you know, the first generation Atari and stuff like that, this game is just as good as any of those.
Oh, for sure.
I appreciate it for giving kids like a free period. You know, like one class where they don't have to be annoyed
and to be
by a teacher. And I like the shared experience it gave, because since almost except me, everyone played it as a kid.
Yeah.
Like everyone can laugh about it and be like, oh, I got this in
And think about it this way. I can remember this happening in my school. This was literally the first introduction to certain children to a computer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were like, wow, what is this thing? You know, I had already encountered a computer before, so I was like, oh, wow, this is neat. But it was also cool to show, hey, this thing can be used for both fun and work, you know. So that's kind of a cool thing. And I bet for like a lot of PC gamers and stuff like that, this is considered like their NES. That this is the origin, and this is just where it got better and better from there. I don't know. That's just my thoughts anyway.
How sad.
How sad.
About to be their NES.
Oh, I mean, okay, so, huh. You think that's sad that the origins here are any better than the Atari origins or Coleco or stuff like that, even older crap for modern console gamers?
No, I just think that that solidifies what I've always believed, and that it's that console games are much more superior to PC games.
Thus begins the rage war. Okay.
I've always thought it was dumb to think one is better than the other, even with consoles. They just have different things.
It's a user interface.
It's preference. I like playing some games better on PC. I like some games better on console. But one thing I do like about PC games is are the mods.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
So are you running a lot of Oregon Trail mods on your run?
No, but I have a lot of Stardew mods. Like a lot.
Every time with the Stardew.
I'm surprised that wasn't one of your characters one of your party members, Elliot.
Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't you name them all Elliot?
I didn't even think about that. I just was picking random names. I wanted to get it over with. I just wanted to deal with this trail, get to Oregon, and buy some coffee.
Oh. So did anybody find the payoff for the two of us that beat it? The little screenshot. It's like, yeah, you made it to Oregon. Way to go. Game over. I was like, oh, great.
I was surprised when it ended. But the do you want to look around thing cracked me up. Because, like, wow, they're so proud of these little scenes they've painted.
Like I said, that was cutting edge tech at the time.
Like, and the white Native Americans. Like,
I think it's it was good to reinforce the history of hunting buffalo to extinction, because, man, every time I hunted, I killed like 50 buffalo, and it would be like, you have 10,000 pounds of food, you can only carry 100 pounds back to the wagon. I was like, ha-ha, that's awesome.
Why wouldn't the wagon just be right there? So, like, park, go out and shoot.
So is anybody like thinking that they should totally GTA this and make like the new Oregon Trail be like explore the Midwest, like almost Red Dead it? I think
they were on to something when they were doing the live action, because one of them was like a point and click, and I could see that working really well for a game like this. And there was a I think it was on the Wii, a 40th anniversary edition, and that looked like it was, at least the gameplay that I saw, all you were doing was riding in the wagon. That, and I think the cartoon stuff was maybe a step in the wrong direction. But if they did it like a, I don't, like an adventure game, I think it could be really cool.
Now I'm sitting here thinking to myself, is Red Dead the spiritual successor to the Oregon Trail, just without the educational aspect?
I mean, just, if they made it like a point A to point B kind of game, then it would be.
And technically,
yeah, I was just,
you can make it a point A to point B kind of game, depending on your gameplay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how fun it would be if it was like Red Dead, but you knew there was just like one goal. Like, you just need to go in a line, pretty much.
I think this is interesting that we're debating what could make an Oregon Trail valid in today's games. But I think everybody agrees that this will always be considered one of the most important / greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say greatest.
it's important.
I see the merit, the value of it, but I don't care to ever revisit it again.
So I guess that gets us into our recommendations about whether or not you should play it or not. I'm going to say you should, just from to have the historical context. It's kind of like cinema. You should watch Citizen Kane once. You should play the Oregon Trail once, is what I'll say.
I mean, we're not trying to recommend it. We're talking like people have already played the game.
It's true. Well, there.
Yeah, if you are in elementary school right now and the choice is this game or math, you should play it.
But think about it. Samantha just played it for the first time, so she technically got a recommendation.
But we, Josh, it is a book club, but with games. The premise is that we play it ahead of time,
yes,
and then talk about it.
Well, we can recommend if our listeners have not played it, just like you could recommend a book.
So if you also have a game club,
uh-huh.
I don't recommend this game.
If you're one of those people that lives life on the edge, you go to book clubs where you don't want to read the book ahead of time. In the rare off chance that somebody's going to give you recommendations after they spoil it for you.
You should still go through it.
Then yeah.
StarKid, you know, the people that did the Harry Potter musical and the Batman one, they did an Oregon Trail musical where the audience would vote every night on which character would die of dysentery at the end. So it always had a slightly different ending. It's really funny. I think I recommend that.
Okay, that's interesting. So there you go, Mike. That just shows its importance. This game is so important, it's inspired. Is it musical theater, Samantha, or just regular theater?
Musical theater.
So there you go, Mike. That is just like, that's a crowning achievement in anything, is that you've inspired a musical theatrical performance.
That's why I think it's
interesting. I didn't say it wasn't inspiring or an influence. I just said that it's had its time in the sun.
50 years coming up. All right,
man, so old.
Well, has anybody else got anything left to say about the Oregon Trail?
No, I'm too busy dying of cholera over here.
They could make it a racing game.
A racing game.
Mario Kart style Oregon Trail.
It'll just be what was that movie with Chris Farley?
Oh, Almost Heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of not Chris Farley, but Mr. Bean. Rat Race.
Well, I think with that said, I think we'll call it an episode here on the Oregon Trail. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.